Jacob Hunt lives by strict routines, color-coded meals, precise schedules, and carefully managed environments. At 18, his Asperger syndrome makes him brilliant but socially awkward. He can discuss fingerprint analysis in extraordinary detail, but struggles to understand why people say things they don't mean. For Jacob, having Asperger's is like being an American tourist in England, technically speaking the same language, but constantly confused by different meanings. His obsession with forensic science leads him to create elaborate crime scene recreations throughout his home, complete with corn syrup blood and meticulous staging. When his social skills tutor Jess is found dead, wrapped in Jacob's distinctive rainbow quilt, his unique behaviors suddenly become evidence in a murder investigation that will challenge our understanding of difference, intent, and justice. For Jacob, the world operates at full volume, with no mute button. His skin is hypersensitive, and unexpected touches feel like exposed nerve endings. Despite being labeled robotic, he's constantly anxious about unpredictable social interactions. He avoids small talk because it feels artificial and corrects factual errors because accuracy trumps feelings. Jacob's encyclopedic knowledge about forensic science and prehistoric creatures helps him make sense of chaos. His police scanner connects him to a realm where his analytical skills matter. Yet he struggles with social cues, taking phrases like get lost literally, unable to decode hidden meanings. Jacob processes empathy differently, recognizing emotions intellectually rather than feeling them naturally. When his grandfather died, he viewed it clinically as a physical change in carbon atoms. Yet he wouldn't take an antidote for Asperger's if one existed. His intelligence, sarcasm, and unique perspective are inseparable from his condition, like trying to separate peanut butter from jelly. Emma Hunt's life revolves around Jacob's needs, sacrificing her career and marriage to maintain his structured environment. As Auntie M, she writes an advice column while managing her own crisis, a son obsessed with crime scenes. For Theo, Jacob's younger brother, life means constant accommodation, avoiding orange signs, letting Jacob shower first, and canceling plans during meltdowns. He mediates between Jacob and the world, extracting him from difficult situations. To escape home's intensity, Theo breaks into strangers' houses, not to steal, but to briefly experience normal family life. The family follows house rules established by Emma. Clean up your messes, tell the truth, take care of your brother. These rules, creating structure in their chaotic lives, become central to the impending murder case. Jess Ogilvy, Jacob's social skills tutor, connects with him by engaging his passions rather than dismissing them. Jacob develops a deep attachment, memorizing everything about her, her purple nail polish, hatred of barbecue sauce, and hearty laugh. Their relationship sours when Jess introduces her boyfriend, Mark. At a restaurant, Jacob impulsively asks Jess on a date. After an argument erupts, Jess tells Jacob to get lost, accidentally leaving her cell phone behind. When Jess disappears, Detective Mattson initially suspects her boyfriend, but the case shifts when Jess's body is found wrapped in Jacob's rainbow quilt. Evidence against Jacob seems damning. His fingerprints in her house, his quilt with the body, and his notebook entry about the crime scene with solved, me, underlined 10 times. Yet what appears straightforward becomes complex through the lens of autism. Jacob's arrest exposes the justice system's unpreparedness for neurodiversity. He strikes Detective Mattson when touched unexpectedly during processing. In jail, forced to wear orange jumpsuits, a sensory trigger, and confronted by an aggressive cellmate, Jacob has a complete meltdown, smashing his head against cell bars until bleeding. Emma's attempts to explain Jacob's autism to jail officials are dismissed, and they refuse his dietary supplements. Lawyer Oliver Bond requests accommodations for Jacob's trial, sensory breaks, dimmed lights, no gavel, Emma's presence, and shortened court days. Despite these accommodations, Jacob's first court day reveals the system's limitations when prosecutor Helen Sharp deliberately crumples paper, triggering Jacob's sensory sensitivity. He loses control, screaming movie quotes while the judge pounds his fist until Emma throws herself over her son as jury and cameras watch. Oliver Bond pursues an insanity defense, claiming Jacob's Asperger's prevents him from understanding right from wrong. Jacob objects, "I don't have a mental disease or defect, I have a quirk." The prosecution counters by portraying him as calculating, citing his aggression history and methodical planning. Against advice, Jacob testifies. He describes finding Jess dead, dressing her body, cleaning blood, and altering the crime scene. When asked if he regrets killing Jess, Jacob smiles and replies, "No, that's what I've been trying to tell you all along." The truth finally emerges. Theo had broken into Jess's house. When she caught him watching her shower, she chased him but slipped and fatally hit her head. Jacob, discovering her later, staged an elaborate scene to protect his brother, literally following his mother's rule to clean up messes. His notebook entry, "Solved, me," wasn't confessing murder, but expressing pride in creating the perfect crime scene. His inappropriate smiling wasn't callousness, but his neurodivergent emotional processing. This story examines the collision of different rule systems, the explicit Hunt family house rules, the unwritten social norms Jacob struggles to comprehend, the legal framework determining criminal responsibility, and the moral principles defining right and wrong. Jacob inhabits a black and white world where rules apply regardless of context. Finding Jess dead, he follows his mother's rules literally. Clean up messes, tell the truth, take care of your brother. In his mind, staging the crime scene wasn't concealing evidence, but protecting Theo while creating the perfect forensic puzzle, merging his crime scene obsession with brotherly duty. The tragedy arises from Jacob's inability to understand rule hierarchies, that calling 911 would supersede cleaning blood, that legal obligations to report death outweigh family rules about protecting siblings. Without the capacity to prioritize competing moral principles, Jacob's literal mind followed the only rules he comprehended with absolute certainty. The story deliberately leaves the verdict ambiguous, compelling us to wrestle with complex questions about moral responsibility and neurodiversity. Jacob's assertion, "I'm not autistic, I have autism. I also have brown hair and flat feet," challenges us to consider how much identity is shaped by neurological differences. Can we separate Jacob's core identity from his Asperger syndrome? Was his action brotherly protection filtered through his literal interpretation of rules? Did his difficulty understanding others' perspectives prevent him from grasping the consequences of his choices? In the gap between intent and action, between neurological difference and criminal behavior, lies the profound question: how do we judge those who see the world through an entirely different lens? Perhaps true justice requires stepping outside our own perspective, recognizing that in a world of unwritten rules, those who can't read between the lines shouldn't be punished for following the only instructions they understand.